Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on a beautiful summer day here in Los Angeles.
That's right.
July 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't ask better for that. It could be a little cooler.
Maybe a little cooler.
But I think that's going to happen, don't you?
But it's hot in the studio, partially because of all the great talent we have here as well. Man, we have a trio.
And on the phone.
Oh, that's right. On the phone and in studio. A trio today on State of the Arts of three truly world-renowned stars joining us today. So very exciting.
Well, we sure do, Andrew. And we have two members of the remarkably talented cast of On Your Feet right here in the studio to tell us about the L.A. premiere of this hit Broadway musical on stage now at Hollywood's Pantages Theater. Please welcome Deborah Cardona and Jason Martinez.
That's right. Welcome
our live
both.
Studio audience. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And so excited to get back and talk to them here in just a minute. But we have a woman who has been patiently holding on the phone for us. Shall we bring her in?
I think we should.
Today, we are very excited to talk with all of our guests, of course. So many wonderful people who have made such an indelible mark in theater, film, television, and music. And our first guest has headlined Broadway as Thoroughly Modern Millie, won critical acclaim as Sally Bowles in Cabaret, starred in Triumph of Love and State Fair, and received a Tony Award in Drama Desk nominations for Best Actress as the original Belle in Disney's Beauty and the Beast. Regionally, she has starred alongside Carol Burnett in Putting It Together and Tommy Toon in the national tour of Bye Bye Birdie, and developed works at Yale Repertory, Baltimore Center Stage, South Coast Repertory, and the Mark Taper Forum.
Some film credits include 13 Going on 30, Gotta Kick It Up, and many award-winning indies. She has voiced leading characters in animated series, including Hercules, Spirited Away, Lady and the Tramp 2, and is currently on Cartoon Network's Steven Universe. Television credits include two seasons on the WB's Nikki and guest starring roles on House, NYPD Blue, Drew Carey, great performances, and countless others.
She has headlined with more than 50 symphony orchestras worldwide, including concerts at the Lincoln Center, Carnegie Hall, and the Kennedy Center, and the Hollywood Bowl, and has more than 40 recording credits, including her solo CDs, All That and More, So Far, Winter Tracks, Coffee House, Susan Egan Live, and The Secret of Happiness, and Softly.
But she will be talking with us today, ladies and gentlemen, about reprising her iconic performance as Belle in Beauty and the Beast with five-star theatricals opening tomorrow evening at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza Cavalli Theater. Please welcome the truly gorgeous and incomparable Susan Egan.
Welcome, Susan. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here.
You should know our talented in-studio guests. We're giving you a little applause as well here, man. I tell you, everybody's so happy to talk to you today.
So, oh, my goodness. Thanks, guys.
Susan.
Applauding right back to you.
Oh, thank you. Susan, first question I must ask. What has taken you so long to do this role again? Why did you decide to do it here in California and at the Cavalli Theater for five-star theatricals?
Oh my goodness. Do you know what? I never thought I would do it again. I felt like, I had the storybook experience doing the show for almost 3 years before Broadway and then Broadway and then the original Los Angeles company. But last year I came up and I did a symphony concert up here with Five Star Theatricals and had such a great time. And the production staff and everybody was so beautiful, the venue, the orchestra, everything was pretty wonderful. And they already had Beauty and the Beast on their season. And a couple months later, they called me up and said, hey, Susan, do you want to come to Beauty and the Beast? And I assumed it would be to play Mrs. Potts because that would be appropriate. And when they said Belle, I said, oh, my goodness, you guys, no, that's ridiculous. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought about the fact that this is probably the last possible moment I could do it. I can still fit the costumes. I've been singing the songs for the last 20 years anyway, so they're all still right in my voice. But, you know, my kids weren't here when I did it the first time, and so it's a chance for them to see it. And what really convinced me was actually Kathy Rigby. And, you know, she was 60 the last time she played Peter Pan, and the truth is, if she's 80, I still want to see her play Peter Pan.
Right,
and
that's so true.
Why not? But the clincher for me was the fact that the production is being directed by Yvette Lawrence Bishop. And Yvette was the only other actress to play Belle in the Los Angeles company of Beauty and the Beast. And she's a dear friend. And so I really think of it as Yvette and I are both playing Belle. So, you know, as she was blocking, I go, okay, Yvette, when do we pick up the book? And when do we go over here? And when do we cross stage left? And so it's really a collaboration. And she has done a phenomenal job taking the production that she and I know so well from Broadway and turning it into Beauty and the Beast 3.0, incorporating some of the elements of the film. We've got a prologue now that is very different than the original, that is just gorgeous and fantastic. So it's been a joy, truly.
Well, I cannot wait to see you in it, number one. And neither can anybody else, because they do such beautiful work out there at Five Star Theatricals. And Patrick Cassidy, now being their artistic director, assuming that post very recently, is only going to up the game, because he was sitting on the board of directors, I believe, prior to being asked to take that position over. So he's...
Isn't that just the frosting on the cake?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been friends with Patrick for longer than he and I would like to admit. But he's just... such an amazing energy and just such a positive influence, and is really infusing a lot of really terrific energy into the program here, which has always been incredible. I think of Five Star as being the best hybrid between professional touring companies and community theater, where the production standards are Broadway standards. The show looks like it looked at the Schubert Theater, but the heart that's behind it also has that element of the passion of community theater players who are doing it for the pure love of it. And Beauty and the Beast is the perfect show for that, because the show is all about that passion and love. And so this has truly been really coming full circle in the best possible way. It's exceeded every expectation.
Well, you know, the one thing that I think is really marvelous about it is the fact that it is such a well-known title, and what it's going to do in many cases for families who have children who will bring their children to see this show. It'll be their first experience at seeing a musical on a stage, and you know that is just eye-opening for kids and so important for them to be educated in the performing arts. And so kudos.
I agree. You know, that was our feeling with the Broadway show as well. And an additional factor with that was, we knew that kids would be coming to the theater for the first time, but the entity of Beauty and the Beast also brought their parents for the first time. In many cases, it was also the adult's first experience of live theater. And you know, you guys know this well, that you can't really explain live theater if you haven't experienced it. But it is not the movie. Things are happening in real time, and we're all in this room together with this agreement to tell the story. And it's just, it goes back to the dawn of humanity, this tradition. And this show in particular captures that and works on levels for any age. And that's always been true, and it's true with this production as well. And so I look forward to looking out once again into the audience and seeing those little girls in their Belle dresses, all dressed up and ready to go.
You will see plenty of them. My daughter will, of course, be one of them. We love going to see all of these productions at that beautiful Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. What's it like to work there? Are you having a good time in the space?
I am. I have to tell you, it exceeds Broadway. Broadway, you think of it as being so glamorous, and a lot of those spaces are a little run down these days. And this Havili Theater is, I mean, absolutely stunning. And the sound, the lights, everything is state of the art. So this is honestly a true pleasure on my part.
Susan,
I have a giant dressing room. That does not happen on Broadway.
Oh.
On Broadway, you've got like a 7-flight walk-up to like a little cubicle. My Broadway dressing room for Beauty and the Beast couldn't fit my costume.
Oh my God.
Deborah and Jason are nodding along with you here, so they agree. They concur wholeheartedly.
It's the funniest thing. The front of house on Broadway is lovely, but the backstage, not so much.
Oh, boy.
Susan, have you walked down around the theater to see the tribute to Jungleland, what was on the space there before the Civic Arts Plaza went up? Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Yes. This whole community up here and their support of the arts, and also outreach and bringing more people in to experience the live arts experience is really inspiring.
Yeah.
I'm from Orange County, and Orange County has a strong tradition of doing the same kind of thing. But I've traveled the country for the last 25 years doing theater, and there are very few communities like this. This is really a treasure in Southern California.
I agree, and you know that it's also the largest theater south of San Francisco?
Is that right?
Yeah, 1,700 seats.
Well, good.
And
come on out.
Yeah.
Plenty of space.
We have plenty of room.
Well, and obviously we're talking to Susan Egan, the great Broadway star who is going to be reprising her role of Belle in Beauty and the Beast, brought to you by Five Star Theatricals. Susan, thank you so much for joining us today. What a pleasure. We have one more question for you. You got a second?
I do.
All right.
We close our show every week with a segment called Embarrassing Moments.
Oh.
And it is anything that you might want to share with the audience, our listening audience and ourselves in studio here, that was, from your stage career or your movie career, television, any part of your professional life, if you can think of something real fast.
Yes. So let's keep it with the Beauty and the Beast theme, shall
okay.
we? Not only did I break my arm in the Broadway production, and then I broke my foot in the LA production, so they started calling me Calamity Belle. I think my favorite embarrassing moment was the week before the Tony Awards. I was running from the Beast at the end of Act One, as one does, leaving the castle because he's so horrendous of a monster. And he's supposed to grab my arm, and the costume has a rip-away sleeve. And Terrence Mann, the original Beast, always felt bad because he had to yank really hard on that sleeve for the Velcro to release. And I said, don't worry about it. I'm going to plant myself. Just pull as hard as you want. Well, the very next show, he grabbed onto my sleeve with his rubber, beastly, hairy gloves where he couldn't feel anything. And in addition to grabbing my sleeve, he grabbed the ponytail of my wig.
Oh, no.
And true to form, he yanked and yanked and yanked until both my sleeve and my wig ripped away right off my head, and I'm standing there center stage at the Palace Theater on Broadway in my little wig cap, looking bald, thinking to myself, I've just sent 1,200 children into therapy.
Right.
and if I've ever felt less beautiful, can't really think of a moment bigger than this one. And,
oh, my gosh.
It's just one of those things. You've got to come and see it because it's live theater, and you never know what's going to happen.
Wow.
The Beast may just scalp Belle.
And Beauty and the Beast, ladies and gentlemen, is opening tomorrow evening, Friday, July 20th at 8 p.m. through Sunday, July 29th. Performances are all through that time period. Go to buy tickets by going to fivestartheatricals.com or call 805-449-2787 and get your tickets that way. Student, senior, and group discounts are definitely available. As we said, take your children. This is the time. If they've not seen something on the stage of this magnitude, and or yourself, this is the show to go see.
That's right. It's going to be a great piece. And obviously, Susan, we're so excited. We wish you the best wishes on the show. Break a leg, but no more arms and feet, okay?
Exactly. Will do. Thank you so much, guys.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for joining us today. Bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. And truly, what an amazing actress she is. But, really, what a wonderful person, too. I read so many stories about how many things she pushed through during those years and years of playing this role. People don't always respect how difficult it is to perform live with an injury, something like that. It really plays with your mind. It's a difficult thing. Certainly anything like Beauty and the Beast, where there's lots of fights and swords and all that sort of thing as well.
And that brings to mind a friend of mine by the name of Frank D'Ambrosio, who played the Phantom, Phantom of the Opera in San Francisco, and actually holds the record, I believe he holds the record for San Francisco, and went on. He had 104 degree temperature.
Wow.
And still did the show.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I don't perform when it's 104 outside. I just don't go. I'll perform 80 to 90. That's it.
That's all
I do.
That was brutal.
I have some funny stories about being sick.
It happens frequently, but especially on a tour, because you're exposed to everything, right?
And then here's the thing, too. Sometimes if you're understudying a role that you really want to do badly, and then someone goes out and you're supposed to go on, but you're not feeling well, you're going to go on for that role.
Yeah,
no matter
you
how
are.
You're feeling.
That's
you
exactly
want to do that.
Right.
You want to perform that role.
No so, doubt.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we love the people up there at now Five Star Theatricals. Truly a great, great company. So many good things. And what an opportunity to see the original Belle in Beauty and the Beast, Susan Egan, again performing up in Thousand Oaks at the beautiful Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. Opening this weekend.
Folks, in other words, we have your whole week planned
That's
out
right.
for you here.
That's
you'll
right.
start with Beauty and the Beast, and then you're going to go over to the Pantages Theater and see the amazing On Your Feet.
And you will yes. leave happy and having a great so, time. What a wonderful feeling you have leaving that show, yeah?
I
yeah.
certainly did. And I know you did, and I know your wife did, and our guest. And
no doubt about
it. Such a great great spirit, and to be there with Gloria Estefan and her husband
so much
on
fun.
Stage yeah. taking
That's
a
right.
call with you guys.
Yeah.
Which they may do in other cities, perhaps. I don't know.
They have done in other cities, but they're the most gracious people. I mean, they were there the Sunday before opening, and they were waiting outside in the heat.
Oh my gosh.
Because we have to run, run outside for a moment.
Right.
I don't want to give anything away.
Right.
But, and they were just waiting there and greeting everybody as we were running in for our intermission.
Wow.
And it was just so sweet of them just to be there hugging everybody. You know, they didn't have to do that.
Wow.
But they're the most gracious, sweetest people.
Well, yeah. they certainly are. And after hearing their story, you certainly have even a deeper level of respect for them. We're going to come back and talk
yes,
to these two amazing stars, Jason and Deborah, here in a second. Before we do that, we should pay our bills so we don't get kicked off the air.
Sure.
How's that sound?
Boy, oh boy, this air conditioning is affecting me today, so I apologize.
I understand. So obviously we'll take a moment here, and we will come back to the raucous thrill ride On Your Feet at the Hollywood Pantages. But let's do take a moment and thank a couple great sponsors
yes,
of the arts.
Yes, we would like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsor for State of the Arts during 2018. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, culture, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel.
Wave, I get it.
Oh,
ocean related. Very well
there?
Done.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, at the end of each month, from September to August, one lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom mm-hmm. on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. And that is possible if you come to the latalkradio.com website and then punch up State of the Arts, and you will go to our page, and there will be a logo from Princess that will allow you to click on it, and it will automatically enroll you in the opportunity of winning this prize.
All my family's already entered. I
yeah.
called them up and told them, please enter. I mean, what an amazing prize. I mean, I'm just yeah. hoping that one of them takes me along with them.
It has a value of about $5,000.
An amazing prize. And obviously, Princess cares so much about the arts and is so dedicated to bettering the arts here in Los Angeles and around the world.
Exactly.
Obviously, so many great things going on out here. We'd, of course, like to acknowledge one of the best resources for finding out about those great performing arts events, PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
Well, I think we should jump right into this now and get to our studio guests, ladies
I agree.
And gentlemen, since 1998, opening night's cast of veteran improvisers has. What am I reading here?
You going to do a live arts calendar?
I am.
I like
no,
that.
No, I'm. Well, we no.
Shall we? You want to bring in our people?
I think so.
You want the people to hear the talent in the
studio.
I'm ready. Let's do it. Let's do it.
We had that lovely interview that went a little long with Susan, but we loved having that. So, I am
bottom of page 7.
Yes.
We are ready to rock and roll, my friend.
Thank you. Since and now, and now,
and now, what did Hart? What was it? They always used to say the veteran. And now, page 6.
And now, we are excited to welcome two stars from the exceptionally talented cast of the LA premiere of On Your Feet on stage now at the Hollywood Pantages.
A native, an L.A. native who has entertained from Broadway to the small screen, this veteran of the stage has toured the U.S. with Mary Poppins, Guys and Dolls, My Fair Lady, Beauty and the Beast, Radio City Christmas Spectacular, and Fiddler on the Roof. In New York, some of her credits include A Christmas Carol at Madison Square Garden, Ragtime in Concert, The Last Word, and Soul Doctor.
Favorite regional credits include Mary Poppins, Candide, The Light in the Piazza, and In the Heights. She is currently, however, delighting audiences on television as Hector's mom on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. She's here today to tell us about her role as Consuelo in On Your Feet at the beautiful Hollywood Pantages Theater.
And in a rare and happy coincidence, also an L.A. native, our next guest comes from four generations of entertainers, going all the way back to the vaudeville stage. After spending countless hours in the theater watching his parents perform, he finally found his own way into the spotlight.
Also an L.A. native of our... I'm sorry, did you just say that?
He has toured the world and shared the stage with many amazing talents like Paul Simon, Mark Anthony, Ruben Blades, and Frankie Valli, one of our favorites, just to name a few. Broadway credits include The Cape Man, Jersey Boys, and Million Dollar Quartet. On television, he has appeared in roles on General Hospital and Boston Legal. Film credits include The Other Guys and American Dreams.
He's here today, however, to tell us about his current role as Jose Fajardo. See, it takes an actor to say.
I think we lost our Latin roots. That's right, man. We needed him today.
Jose Fajardo in On Your Feet. We are so happy to have both of these remarkably talented performers with us today. Please give it up for Deborah Cardona and Jason Martinez.
That's right. What a pleasure to have both of you here. I'm not going to lie to you. I had to chop so many credits out of your bios. You two have worked all over the world, but you're here from L.A., yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're an L.A. native. I'm actually a New York native.
And but you transplanted to L.A. at some point?
I transplanted about 5 years ago.
Very nice. Yeah. So you live in L.A. now, but you didn't grow up here.
No, okay. I'm a New Yorkerican.
Five years in L.A., you get your L.A. card. Don't worry about it. You're golden.
That quick, but 5 years?
That's, I love it. Right. It takes 6 months these days, I tell you. My goodness, you get it quick these days. But I got to ask you, when I saw this show, I was shocked at how impactful Emilio was in the lives of all of these people. I mean, of course, Gloria is the front girl, right? I mean, you see her out there, and she's so charismatic. But, I mean, he affected your life, and your character's life, I should say. Maybe your life personally, too, now. I guess, and certainly your life. I mean, to take the daughter of a man who dealt with the things you deal with, I mean, that has such implications as you talk about future life and decision making and health, and certainly the tragedy she went through. Was it amazing to meet him and find out how well he did in forming these lives and really shaping this journey that you're all a part of?
Oh, it was. I met them for the first time this past week.
Wow.
Jason, you were in rehearsal with them, so you got some really good quality time with them.
Yeah. Cool.
But, it really is, and you're right. It's really amazing how Emilio is the engine for all of the things that happen.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that. You know, most people wouldn't even think about it, but he really, really is. And he's a very dynamic personality. When you meet him, he's so sweet.
Yeah.
He's really sweet. And Gloria, she corrects his English.
Just like she does in the show.
Yes,
it's so funny.
We were taking pictures backstage, and he says, okay, Gloria, we're going to put this on internet. And she was like, Instagram.
That's so, and their dynamic, of course, they both looked great when they came up at opening night. But I mean, when their dynamic of teamwork and of getting through it really is a beautiful Hollywood story. I don't know that it's been talked about enough.
No, they've been married 40 years.
He's her first
That's
love.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
Well, I certainly learned things about their background.
No doubt.
The show that I didn't know. In fact, I didn't know that he had been a singer with a band.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. He also played percussion, I think, as well with the band, too. So.
Well, he was in a Latin band in Miami in the 70s. You've got to play percussion.
Right,
it's just
exactly.
A part of it. If you don't have drum skills, you don't get in the band.
Yeah.
So I love that. It's so cool because you got to learn a little bit about the Cubano culture. You got to learn about Miami. You got to learn about all the cool things that were going on that most of us in the upper 48 states, 49 states, didn't get to see any of, because the Latin culture didn't really explode until Gloria Estefan. So all those roots, we miss so much of that great music, so many of the personalities. And it was really cool to see kind of that legacy that continued on for 40 years of marriage and so many great albums.
Yeah, Absolutely.
And she looked just as beautiful on opening night as she always has.
Mm-hmm. Now, didn't you think, and I thought this was interesting, because it's been called a jukebox musical, which is really not right.
No,
you know, when
I
you watch it,
so.
You realize that it's not just her songs, it's her life, which was a part of her songs. The thing I came away with, though, was there was so much more of her story that wasn't even really talked about in the play. Her life is amazing. So if people get a chance to kind of Google her and find out a little bit about it. But I have one story I want to ask you about, and I'm not sure if it's apocryphal or not. I heard that, and we don't want to give anything away, but after the tragedy, where obviously we all know she was tragically injured and laying in the middle of the street, Emilio got to her first, held her head in her lap, and anybody who came near her, he wouldn't let them near her. He wouldn't let them touch her. And when paramedics got there, they said if anyone had touched her or moved her, even in the slightest, she never would have walked again.
Oh, wow.
So I read that. I don't know if, but I was blown away. I also heard another tragic story that said her little boy, their son, Gloria was kissing him goodnight when the accident happened. And, you know, she goes flying across the truck, and the little boy's hurt, injured his shoulder, and wakes up the next morning, finds his mom is in the hospital, and he thinks because that day he'd been playing Step on a Crack, break your mama's back.
Right.
For years, he thought that was his fault.
Right, I heard that story.
I have two little ones. I can't imagine living with that. And what a trooper to get through such a horrible thing. Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. I have a 6 and a 4-year-old as well. And the things that kids latch onto.
Right?
Yeah.
Are they boys or girls you got?
I have 2 boys.
I tell you, man. It's so strange because little boys at that age, their imaginations go forever. And you think that, I mean, this little boy was living with this pain and living with this fear, and you go, nobody knew.
Yeah, and he held on to it for a while, right? Yeah. I mean, it was years until he finally said something to somebody. And
now,
like,
we should say he's grown up to be remarkably well-adjusted, yes?
Yeah.
He's got a handsome little son of his own who had some killer dance moves that we saw that night.
Yeah.
I think he stole them from me, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
Those are my exact same moves.
Yeah.
Well, he had a little more Latin rhythm than I do. I kind of trip and fall, but the same moves, same basic concept, you know.
It's Isn't dancing just tripping and falling?
It definitely is when I do it, so there's no doubt about it. It was so fun to watch. What's your experience been like with this show and touring with a show that has this large of a fan base?
It's a responsibility. When I first came on, I was a big fan of Gloria back in the 80s, so I took it very seriously, and I was kind of a last minute addition to the show, so I was kind of thrown in, and Gloria, you know, signed off on me to play her father. So I was like, okay, this is a big responsibility.
Wow.
And I really did my research. And then when I got there, I was able to sit down with her, and she was so accessible. And I chatted with her for hours and asked her any question I could possibly think of. And she, you know, was just there for me. And I was just trying to find some isms that I could, you know, latch onto that would maybe remind her of her father. And I could use that on stage, so it's a big response. And then, of course, the huge fan base that she has, you want to do it justice. And I think everybody in the show is very present, you know, with that thought in their head. And it's such a great group of people, and we're such a, you know, I was just talking about this actually last night to somebody. It's interesting. A first national tour of a show it's usually better than the Broadway show, because you're a group of people that doesn't go do a show and then go home at night.
Right.
We all have to live together and be there for each other on the road. And it's been like 10 months. Mm. And we have truly become this tight-knit family with this chemistry. And when you get up on stage, it can't help but shine through. And I think that is what draws people in. You know, if we're up there having a good time, we're all connecting and you know, just really connecting with each other and laughing and having our moments, it draws the audience in. And, and that's what I think makes our show really, really great. And again, all of us are very like-minded about what this show represents and the tradition, you know, that we're carrying on and the people that we're representing. So it's this big sense of reverence that we all have right now, responsibility as well.
I can see that.
So I think
we take it seriously.
People who want to see the show are wanting to see it because they love the music of Gloria and know that it'll be an experience. But if you're putting out that kind of energy, just as you explained now, it just you know, is tenfold what the expectation is of the audience. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
Because everybody was up on their feet at the end.
No
of the
doubt.
Show, and that's the point of it. You know, is to awaken your senses and your sense of passion and all of the things that go along that are, you know, evident in this show. And of course, your love for music. But it was more than that for me. It was everything for me. And I don't feel like that very often.
I love that.
There have been people that I've talked to after the show, because people come to get pictures and autographs, and they do talk a lot about, you must really like each other. I could really tell. <You know? laughs> I said, you think the dancing is fun on stage? You should see the dancing off stage.
Wow, that's cool. I'll bet. True. That's totally true. Well, the show we are raving about is On Your Feet at Hollywood Pantages right now. This runs all the way through July 29th at the Pantages, which of course is one of the best venues here in Southern California, truly one of the premier theater venues. 28 members in this cast, I believe. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. It's a big cast. But more than that, it's a fun cast. I mean, the energy, any one of you could have a solo show, and to get all those fun, energetic performers on stage at once is pretty cool. And it's the life story of Gloria and Emilia Estefan.
And here's the cool thing. You can get tickets at $39, starting at $39.
Unbelievable.
And up. But check it out, HollywoodPantages.com or Ticketmaster.com. But I suggest you stay at the HollywoodPantages.com address and get your tickets, or phone 800-982-2787. And also, the Hollywood Pantages box office is open every day at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And all Ticketmaster outlets would be available to you, too. But do it quick, because the show is here only through July 29th, and seats go pretty fast for this one.
Well, now they do, of course. And the opening was fun. There's lots of stars out. I saw a whole bunch from the Hispanic community. I saw Gabriel Iglesias, who was there, and a lot of really fun people were out and having a good time. But it was interesting to watch kind of how the community came together, not only to enjoy the show and the music, which was amazing, but also to talk about some of the social commentary that I wasn't aware of. I mean, the Cuban culture in Miami, I think, felt very isolated for a lot of years, and to break out of that was not only huge for Emilio and for Gloria, but for people who had kind of paved the road for them. And you certainly saw a lot of vocal support for that as well. Some of the songs in this, I think, are ingrained in our being. Can you name a few of the great hits that are in this show?
Get On Your Feet,
of course.
Gonga. The Rhythm Is Gonna Get You.
The Rhythm Is Gonna Get, which was so much fun to watch everybody. You could hear in the first beat, everybody knew what was coming, and they started jumping up.
Right,
so,
exactly. Yeah. They're iconic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anything for You.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I think it's important.
Hits.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important for people to know the way they did this. They took her music, but they didn't put it necessarily all chronologically. It kind of was interwoven as far as when it most affected her life, which I thought was a great way to do it. I thought it really paid dividends dramatically.
It goes to what you were saying about jukebox musical, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me is, you take a bunch of songs and you make them work with a story.
Right.
But this is very personal.
These
That's
are right.
her songs that she wrote about her life and her experiences. And it's a book that's about her life and her experiences, so it works hand in hand. It's truly its own musical.
And if people don't know, she started very young. How old was she when she started singing, when she met Emilio?
17.
I mean, come on. If my 17-year-old daughter wants to do that, I say, I don't care how talented you are. You sit down. You finish high school. You know, you got to have real faith as a grandmother, as a mother, as a father, to let your daughter go like that. It's a tribute, too, to how many people. And, of course, she had a psychology degree. Is that what she was?
Yes.
Amazing.
She finished her degree.
Wow. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Well, this was a fun story. I had a great time learning about it. Can you tell me, each of you, Jason, maybe first, tell us how you got involved with the show? Just an audition? Were you called? How did that work?
I actually, they were having a hard time finding somebody for this role. And a couple people that I knew, unbeknownst to me, Andy Senior, who I knew from years and years ago. He played Angel in Rent, and I met him through friends of mine who were doing the tour. Susan Niederlander, who was instrumental in getting me my first Broadway show.
I love Susan.
And Sergio Trujillo, who I'd worked with in Jersey Boys. And I think Susan brought my name up, saying, well, why don't you give Jason a call? And then, of course, Sergio and Andy were like, oh yeah, I know Jason. So I kind of got a call last minute. They were already in rehearsals a week and a half. So I was on tour with Frankie Valli as a season, singing backup with Frankie Valli. And I think I was in Toronto or something, and they were making me videotape auditions, you know, in my hotel room. And then, you know, I was sending auditions back and forth, and I was like, this is not going to go anywhere. We'll see whatever happens. And then they kept saying, send another one, send another one, send another one. And so here I am in Minnesota on a tour bus filming another audition so Gloria can sign off on, you know, see it. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I get a call and they're like, you got it.
Wow.
You know, Gloria signed off on you. She wants you to play her father.
Never in
like,
person.
Wow. No, because I wasn't available. My schedule just wouldn't make me available. But I knew so many people who, you know, they knew my work and, you know, thank goodness and thought I was good enough. So, and then I literally packed my life up in like 5 days and flew out to New York and started rehearsing.
Now, do your kids travel with you at all?
I try not to go too long without seeing them. I think the longest I've gone is like 2 months, which is it's horrible. Cause
that's when I like my kids the best, is when I've only seen them like once every 2 months. We get along so well for that 1 hour.
How old are your kids?
I got a 7-year-old. Oh, I just got myself in trouble. He just turned 8 last month. 8-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Yeah. See, that age, right around that age, they're getting there. Now, when I first left, they were like, Dad, who? You know, they were like, you know, you were gone? Great. So, but now, you know, it's getting to the point where they're like, you know, they'll come out and see me, and they're like, you know, I'll be watching TV and they'll snuggle up right next to me, and I'm like, cool. Oh yeah, they really miss me. Or they'll start saying things to, you know, my wife, and I'm like, okay, I gotta see them, you know.
Now, have they seen the show?
They're getting trouble now because they're getting, you know, they're starting to become troublemakers because they're getting older though.
Yep. I tell you what, it's so funny. I mean, I've got the two best kids in the world, with maybe yours accepted, but it's pretty cool to watch them grow and all that sort of thing. But I tell you, when I get a little break from them, I always miss them so much. I'm so grateful for that little break. It's yeah, I really do like these people, you know. I enjoy their presence.
You can't choose your family, right?
That's right. Now, have your kids seen this show yet?
They've seen it like 3 times
cool.
now. Yeah. So.
Is your wife a performer?
She is. She's a dancer, but she's now kind of like, you know, she's done with dancing, I feel like. And she's choreographing stuff. She'll run auditions for things. And she does real estate as well. So,
wow, nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Deborah, how'd you get involved with the show?
I had originally auditioned for the tour about a year ago. Mm-hmm. I flew back and forth to New York. Had a couple of auditions, and then they decided that they were going to bring as much of the Broadway cast as possible. So it didn't. So I didn't get it. I didn't get it right away. So in January, my husband and I were back in New York. We were having our apartment painted, and I get a phone call. They would like to see you. Can you come in tomorrow for On Your Feet?
Wow!
Now, and I happen to be in New York.
What a cool, and it's just meant to be. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so I went in. Wow. You know, I learned all the scenes and I had a song, and I went in and I read, and they put me on tape, and I had heard back that the creative team really liked me for the role.
Yeah.
But Gloria and Emilio had to sign off, so I waited biting my fingernails for about 3 or 4 days. So once they said yes and everything was said and done, I had 2 days to pack my clothes.
Oh my goodness.
And meet everybody at the Kennedy Center.
Wow.
2 days. Oh my
two
goodness.
Days, yeah.
And were you on the tour at that time?
Yeah, so I started right from the very beginning, yeah. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That's showbiz, kids.
No doubt about it.
Exactly.
Now, Deborah, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is your character a little bit and her place in Gloria's life. And both of you, of course, have to affect different ages and different person. It's got to be very, very, because there's a number of parts you could have played in the show as well. But it's interesting that they went with that direction, because you have to have somebody who can really embody that warmth and that lovingness. What was your process with that? And tell us a little bit about what that means to Gloria.
Well, I have always wanted to do a role where I could embody my abuelas, my grandmothers, on stage, because they were amazing. One of my grandmothers helped my mother raise me, and the other abuela was so much. She was the really fun abuela.
The one who got you in trouble then. I like that.
So, and also I had been spending a lot of time doing productions of In the Heights playing Abuela Claudia. So,
oh, wow. Cool. Of course, that makes
sense.
So
it was my year of Abuela.
Right. Yes. But for a young woman like you, you got to also be going, boy, I'm ready to stop walking this slow, you know? It was so interesting to watch on that stage because, I mean, you could have been any age up there because it spans over so many years. Mm-hmm. So either way, you're going to have to play way outside of it. But that also must have been a little challenging to continually play someone older than yourself, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, I'm a lot older than you think I am. But thank you.
Well, and of course, you're the first one to kind of see Emilio. Is that correct, I believe?
Yes.
And he makes quite an appearance in those bright white shorts, doesn't he?
You should hear the audience's reaction.
So
is
funny.
Priceless.
That's right. That's so funny.
And was that really, is that something truly?
I remember that time. Guys used to wear like little short shorts like that in the 70s. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And the members only jackets that he wears.
I remember all
of that. Yeah.
Well, we should say both leads are amazingly charismatic and wonderfully talented as well. But
sure.
I really did feel that the entire ensemble offered such an amazing energy that really carried you through the show. Jason, a little bit about what you do. You have to play, I believe he had MS, is that correct? Mm-hmm. Gloria's father had MS.
Yeah.
He was a soldier, a veteran, a first-generation American, I believe.
Yeah.
And came over and, I mean, fought for the country and did amazing, amazing things, and then came home and had, obviously, war fatigue, but also had MS to deal with, and Gloria nursed him through his entire life. Is that correct?
Yeah, on top of that, having to take care of, yeah, I mean, she took care of him, took care of, you know, her sister. She had a lot on her shoulders. Was going to school, trying to get a degree.
Yeah.
Playing with a band at night.
Amazing.
So, yeah, she had a lot of energy.
Amazing.
But yeah, it's crazy. His story is actually amazing. I sat with Gloria and she told me, you know, the crazy things that he went through and, you know, being brought up with Batista, the president of Cuba.
Wow.
And then
that's right. He was in the police, right? He was Cuban police.
Batista was as well.
Wow.
So then he became president and then it went horribly wrong. And then, you know, there was the coup, and he fought on Batista's side out of loyalty and then in prison and then was released 2 years later because his record was spotless.
Wow.
He never took a bribe, never did anything wrong as a Cuban police officer. And they looked at his record and they said, "You're a good guy. You can go." So they sent him off. He went to, you know, came to the States and then enlisted. And then the CIA... took him under his wing because they were planning a coup to take back Cuba. And he just wanted his home back. He wanted to go home.
Wow.
so that didn't work. Bay of Pigs.
Details.
Yeah, right.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
But he was recruited into like black ops and all this crazy stuff. She has stories. And I was like, oh, they need to do a play about him.
Oh, yeah.
If you and I copyright this right now, we can get the rights to the sequel. Let's go. On Your Feet Again. Here we go.
On Your Feet, Black Ops.
Prequel.
That's right. I think we got a video game sequel
there
as
you
well.
Go. I like that.
What an amazing story. But
yeah,
not just that, the love that family had to get them through this. It really was touching. If you're looking for a positive story in this day and age, as we all look for positive stories in this day and age, I don't think you can find a better one than this. It was so uplifting and so exciting, and you realize that with both of them still alive and working and all that sort of thing, you're right in the middle of what an amazing story they have. So
true, yeah.
On Your Feet at the Hollywood Pantages. Again, it's there through July 29th. Don't miss this show. It's musically, it's a blast. Energy-wise, it's a blast. And the story is very, very good as well.
And, you know, musically speaking, Miss Estefan has sold over 100 million records.
I bought 3 of them, so we're in good shape.
Between her and Emilio, they have an amazing number of Grammy awards, 26 to be exact.
What do you do after like your 4th Grammy? Do you just keep lining them up, or do you go, okay, I got to get a storage unit? And what am I going to do with all
this? Take a mantle over your fireplace.
That's right.
But boy, oh boy, guys. So nice to have you here. It was so wonderful to see you on stage in your roles, but it's really, really special to see you here with us today.
Yeah, this is very special. Thank you for having us
here.
Well, and
so
I tell
much.
You, between you two and Susan Egan, we got a lot of good theater here and a lot of good presenters here in Southern California. What a cool thing to be involved in this community and see how many great things are going on. Are we going to get you guys coming back to L.A. at any point on this tour, or are you off to other places and not back here again?
How much longer is the tour?
Yeah. Well, it's scheduled to go, I think, for 2 years. But yeah. If we come back to L.A., I'm not sure. We're going to San Diego next.
My home.
So the moral is don't miss it here at the Pantages. Get out there. Get your tickets. Stand in line if you have to, but you can certainly call Ticketmaster or the Pantages box office. Grab tickets there because this is a fun show worth seeing.
Let me ask you both this question. I find it fascinating. What made you get into this business? What was the catalyst? Was it your family?
For me, I kind of rebelled for a second because I come, again, from four generations, like you said at the beginning, at the top of the show, from four generations of entertainers going back to vaudeville.
Amazing.
And it's really cool touring the United States and playing some of these old vaudeville houses where, you know, my great-grandmother and her sister had a sister act, you know.
How cool. What was it called? Do you know?
The Gold Faders.
Oh, that's great.
I'm like a Mexican Jew. So, yeah. But
is there such a thing?
There is such a thing.
There's a musical in that somewhere too.
Yeah, so. My dad was an RCA recording artist, musician. My mom, singer, dancer, actress. And so I just grew up. My dad threw a guitar in my hand at a young age. I started playing and writing songs and singing. And you know, my mom would always try and get me to perform, and I'd be like, "Yeah." My dad would make me get up on stage and sing, and you know, he'd be playing clubs and stuff, and you know, it was the cute thing to have his two little boys come up and sing "Raindrops Are Falling on My Head," you know? So you know, that was my introduction into it. But my grandfather on my mom's side was the layman, and he was like the electrician, the plumber, the bricklayer. He ended up becoming a jeweler later on, and I was like, I want to be that guy. So I was like, you know, I want to work in a factory, blah, blah, blah. But I still played guitar and, you know, wrote songs and was like, you know, that was my church, really. And then all of a sudden, you know, out of high school, so I did a couple high school plays and all that stuff. But out of high school, my brother called me and said, they're having an audition over at this place. I think it was Universal Studios. And, you know, you should come bring your guitar. So I went, brought my guitar, and ended up getting it. And that was, I don't know if you guys remember, a Beetlejuice's Rockin' Graveyard review.
Nice.
So, and at that show, like, I was Frankenstein.
Deborah's almost gone. You almost lost her. She's gone.
So I played Frankenstein, Rockin' Frankenstein, where I had played guitar and, you know, had sang my songs and all that. But we had, my bride in that show was Leslie Margarita. My Wolfman was Wayne Brady.
Oh, like, wow.
We had an all-star cast of people that went on to go do these amazing, crazy things. Eden Espinosa, another one.
Wow.
So that kind of brought me into it. And, you know, 20-something years later, here I am. I haven't done anything else.
Once you retire, you can go work in a factory.
You can still achieve
your dreams.
There you go.
My retirement job is carrying sheet metal. Right, yeah. Well, obviously, I mean, and I have great respect for the fact that as a kid, you saw the practical side of that. Because that's, I mean, to be honest, kids who grow up in entertainment sometimes get this totally warped as far as their perspective. So that's love that you started from the place of, no, I want to have a real job. And then you realized I can be a real person in the entertainment industry and do great things. There as well. It's a very cool story. How about you, Deborah?
What about you?
Me, not nearly as interesting, but I kept changing.
You can lie. Nobody's going to know.
I originally wanted to go work for NASA.
Whoa.
Well, I was too scared to be an astronaut.
Yeah, what's
but
the
I
audition like
for
NASA?
I don't know. I never found out. And then my school took us to see Godspell. Oh. And that was the end of that. I bought the album. I played it every day. I learned all the parts. I acted the whole thing out in my backyard every day.
Wow.
And my stepfather was an artist. And he was like, well, I'm going to find her an acting school. So he did. And I went to a little community acting school. And then I wound up going to NYU and studying drama. And then I realized I really want to do musicals, but I can't sing and dance.
Details.
So after I graduated, I spent a lot of years learning how to sing and dance.
Wow.
I used to scream on pitch.
Well, the classes paid off because you were beautiful in this. And not only that, but what a gift your stepfather gave us, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he put you out there. And this part, This part really anchored the show. Of course, after the accident, there's some kind of ethereal scenes and stuff like that where you realize you see the place of not only her grandmother, but grandmothers in general, which I thought was so beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Grandmothers are love.
Yes.
And everybody really responds to Abuela Consuelo, which makes me very, very happy.
Yeah.
Because
I'd like to hear you just say that.
And, because Because Consuelo really was Gloria's mentor. She talks about that.
Yeah.
She says that she got from her mother and her grandmother that women can do anything they put their minds to, and that her grandmother felt that she had this gift of music, and it was her responsibility to share it. But if she was going to do that, she was going to do something that she loved, and if she did something that she loved, she had to do it with all of her heart and all of her joy. And
well,
that it was not
going
to be easy, but just to have a belief that what you're doing is right.
Wow. What a passion she had, and what a great family legacy. Again, a story that, I tell you, if you're looking for something good and positive to leave just feeling great, go down to the Hollywood Pantages, because there is some really fun vibes when you leave on your feet.
Absolutely. Do you think it's come to that time?
The time.
Yeah, and now, embarrassing moments.
Should have played that for Susan Egan as she's standing in Ed Hall's hallway there out there.
Oh, yeah.
I blew it. Oh, well. Embarrassing moments. This is where we talk about a little bit of, you heard us talk about it with Susan a little bit, the most embarrassing times in your career when you thought maybe this was it. I'm going to go work in a factory now. I'm done.
Yeah.
But you said, no, I can get, and if you can be poor Susan with Terrence Mann ripping off her ponytail,
that's
pretty impressive. Yeah. Deborah, do you have anything for us?
Oh, yes. I have a Beauty and the Beast story.
Wow. Hey. This show. We got to be careful with the show. It's a dangerous show.
I was doing Beauty and the Beast, I think, in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And I was playing Madame Bouche, who is a wardrobe.
Yes, she is.
So the costume, basically, you're wearing a closet over. You can't do anything. You've got your arms and your feet sticking out, and you're kind of, fastened into it. So I do a scene, and I go running off into the wings, and I trip over a wire. And when you come down, it's like a tree. Timber!
You ain't getting up.
I went flat down on my face, and my hands and legs were just kind of flapping. They had to grab me by my feet and pull me out of the box.
Wow.
In order to get me up, because they couldn't stand me up.
Thank goodness you had time to do that, because that could be a disaster.
It was odd. It was such a pretty moment.
Actresses and all their dignity getting yanked out by their ankles. Oh, man. Obviously, that show has a lot of that stuff. You can't have stray wires backstage.
Dude.
Yeah. No kidding. Jason, what you got for us?
I get it. A little bit of anxiety. It's almost like therapy, right? I'm
gonna get this. That's right.
I was doing Jersey Boys, and I was doing Norm Waxman, and we had they decided they wanted to cut the rehearsal process in half. So I think we had 2 weeks to rehearse before we opened in San Francisco.
Yeah, that always works well.
Right. And I was doing Norm Waxman. Now, Norm Waxman has to play guitar in like a bunch of songs and do underscoring on stage and also play drums as well.
Wow.
And I was understudying Nick Massey, one of the principals in Gyp DiCarlo. So I was cramming my head full of stuff. And literally I didn't have a guitar with me or drums in New York. So I would, on the way home, go to Guitar Center and just sit down and play the electronic drums, or I'd play, grab a guitar and just go over my parts. We got to San Francisco, and I had so much stuff in my head, and we're doing our final dress rehearsal before we open that night. And it gets to, we're at the end of the first act, and Frankie says something, something to me. I'm normal. I'm like the book guy. I'm trying to collect money, and he's late. Or no, it's Tommy's late. And he says something to me, is dismissive, and walks off. And I'm supposed to say, no, you got a little success now, right? Blah, blah, blah. You got this, that. And I, for some reason, skipped into the second act in the sit down.
Always nice.
I said, my people are very angry. And everyone was fried, because we'd been
right
in tech and 10 out of 12s and, just fried. And no one could get me out of it. And
did he hear the cue and continue the line, or did he just let it go?
No one, I
That's
threw
brutal.
Everybody into
That's
selective
brutal.
Amnesia, and no one knew what to do. And our music director is playing this underscore.
Oh, no.
And I can see his face on the camera, looking at the camera like, what is going
what
on right
doing?
Now? And Dez Makanoff is standing there, and it's Dez, you cower in his presence. And he just slowly walks up the side aisle and just stands, I can see him in the light, and he's just looking at me, and he lets me stew in it for like a good, And I'm sitting there with Jolie Obwari. I don't know if you know Jolie. And Andrew Rannells, who's gone on to do tons of stuff. And neither of them can get me out of it. They're looking at me like,
good luck, bro.
Good luck. And then finally Dez goes, okay, cut. And then he goes, you know, because I'm supposed to say, you put me in an awkward position. He's like, I want you to really think about putting Frankie in an awkward position.
Oh, wait, I got an idea.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like, so you don't forget. I'm like, okay, I'm so sorry. Yeah, yeah, I won't forget. But I did, went on to do the show, do that role for like 6 years and never mess that up.
Thank
so
goodness.
That's my saving grace.
Thank goodness.
But it was so embarrassing. Oh my God.
And obviously you got through it, which is the main thing. That's a very positive thing. The name of the show is On Your Feet. It's the Emilio and Gloria Estefan Broadway musical. And one of the things I loved about this so much was the music at the end of it just stays with you. I've been seeing On Your Feet, and only the parts that I know, for the entire week. So I've been having a great time with it. The theater is the Pantages, which of course is a beautiful theater. Lots of good parking, lots of food and drink around there.
Yeah.
Make a night out of it. Get out of the house. Like we always say, get up off your couch.
Yep.
Put your cell phone down.
Get on your feet.
That's right. Get on your feet and then go sit in the theater, which will be nice and air conditioned, which is just as positive.
Yes.
So.
So you can get tickets for On Your Feet at the Hollywood Pantages Theater starting as little as $39.
Mm-hmm.
Got to take advantage of that. HollywoodPantages.com or 800-982-2787.
That's right.
And then we have the beautiful Susan Egan opening tomorrow night in Beauty and the Beast at the Fred Kevely Theater at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. And for tickets, you simply go to or call 800-745-3000, or you can buy them online at 5starTheatricals.com. Well, that would be the number 5starTheatricals.com.
And of course, if you haven't been out there to Thousand Oaks, again, Mastro's is right across the road. The Gardens of the World is out there. Another great
spot
to go see some things.
And that is through July 29th.
And as if we haven't given you enough options already, you can always go to performingartslive.com. Check out all the great events in Los Angeles and around the world that are going on. Some really great stuff here in the Southland right now. Don't miss this chance to see some of these great projects we've been talking about.
Well, we are going to wrap it up and say thank you.
And of course to the amazing Susan Egan, thank you so much for joining us. And of course to all of our listeners who are always so gracious to tune in.
Where will I see you next week?
On the radio.
Right. You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.